Deep within the mountain passes of Saitama Prefecture, surrounded by dense, choked groves of cedar trees, there was once a remote wooden hut. To any ordinary traveler or casual surveyor hiking through the mountain roads in the winter of 1993, that structure looked completely dead. Just another abandoned farming shack left to rot in the cold wilderness of Japan. But if you had stepped off the dirt trail, if you had walked past the first brush and stood close enough to that wooden wall, you would have noticed a thick, yellowed smoke curling slowly from the stone chimney pipe. It didn't smell like wood smoke. It didn't smell like charcoal or pine. It was a heavy, oily stench that clung to the damp mountain air, a smell that coats the throat and sits thick in the back of the jaw. Inside that dark room, a man named Gen Sekine and a woman named Hideko Kazama were standing over a custom-built sheet metal incinerator tank. They were completely silent. They were simply watching something burn down to absolute grey ash. Gen was one of the most famous, charismatic luxury dog breeders in Saitama Prefecture. He was a showman, an elite handler, a master of industry manipulation who was deeply feared within the pet commerce circles of Japan. He had a favorite business maxim, a phrase he would utter to his apprentices and business partners over hot cups of green tea when discussing debt or rivals. He would lean across his desk, fix them with a wide, unblinking smile and say, "Secret to running a perfect business is making people transparent." He didn't mean hiding them away. He didn't mean burying them deep in the dirt where a forensic team or a trained police dog could track the scent of decomposition. He meant reduction, absolute obliteration. He meant taking a living, breathing human life and reducing them down to such an absolute state of non-existence that their bones could be cast into a mountain stream like simple gravel, leaving nothing behind. In the space of less than a year, four wealthy clients and competitive breeders walked into Gen Sekine's commercial dog breeding facility in Saitama Prefecture. None of them walked out. They simply ceased to appear on the ledger of the living world. They became invisible. That is, four wealthy clients. Oof. This is the story of Saitama Dog Lover Murders, one of the most cold-blooded, meticulously executed serial crimes in modern Japanese history. A true crime narrative defined by an environment of pure financial greed, domestic control, and absolute slaughter, hidden right behind a bright, friendly facade of family-pet companionship. But as we peel back the skin of what Gen Sekine and Hideko Kazama built inside that Saitama kennel, we are going to look much deeper than the police case files. Because the cold, predatory architecture of Gen Sekine, criminal empires, mirrors a forbidden ancient folk sorcery, a dark ritual born from absolute greed, intentional animal torture and torment, and a hunger that ultimately devours the person who invoked it. The legend of the invisible, blood-bound dog spirit, the Inugami. The pet bubble and the Africa kennel. To comprehend how a luxury dog facility in Saitama Prefecture transformed into a cold-blooded slaughterhouse, you have to look closely at the era. In the early 1990s, Japan was riding the tail end of its massive economic bubble. Wealthy urbanites had millions of yen to spend, and rare, exotic breeds of dogs became the ultimate status symbols. Breeds like Siberian Huskies, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and massive European guardhounds weren't just pets. They were high-yield financial investments. Gen Sakine recognized this boom instantly. Along with his ex-wife and lifelong business partner, Hideko Kazama, he operated a sprawling facility in Saitama called the Africa Kennel. Gen was a master of his craft. He knew dog psychology, he knew breeding mechanics, and more importantly, he knew human vulnerability. He was intensely charismatic, capable of convincing wealthy investors to hand over tens of thousands of dollars for a single puppy by spinning elaborate lies about its rare ancestry. But behind the rows of immaculately clean, chain-link cages, behind the beautiful pedigree dogs barking in the yard, the Africa Kennel was completely rotting from within. Gen was a compulsive con artist. He owed millions of yen to banks, local suppliers, and Yakuza-adjacent lenders. His operation was a classic scam pyramid. He would accept massive deposits for a rare dog from multiple buyers, sell the same animal three times over, or swap out high-end puppies with cheaper, common animals once the money cleared. Hideko was the quiet brain behind this operation. She handled the financial records, managed the complex legal shell entities, and watched Gen's public performance with a cold analytical eye. They weren't just a divorced couple running a kennel, they were a tightly integrated corporate entity built on fraud. By early 1993, the pyramid began to collapse. The economic bubble popped. Creditors began to descend on the Saitama facility. Wealthy clients realized they had been sold fake pedigree lines. Competitors threatened to expose Gen Sakine's scams to the Japanese breeding registries. These people thought they were dealing with an arrogant, over-leveraged pet merchant. They believed they could corner him in his office and force a refund through legal pressure or intimidation. They had no idea that Gen Sakine had already devised a definitive solution for his ledger problems. He didn't intend to run away. He didn't intend to declare bankruptcy. No, no, no. Instead, he looked out at his crowded kennel yard, looked at the veterinary supplies on his shelves, and realized that he possessed the perfect tools to make his financial problems entirely transparent. The first transparency. The first name to be permanently erased from the Africa Kennel logbook belonged to a wealthy Saitama investor named Akio Kawamura. Akio had handed over 11 million yen to Gen Sakine for a premium breeding partnership involving rare African hounds. That's a lot of money. When he discovered that Gen Sakine had falsified the ownership papers and spent the money on old debts, Kimura drove straight to the kennel on the 20th of April 1993. He was furious, understandably. He confronted Gen Sakine in his private office, threatening to strip him of his breeding licenses and ruin his reputation across Japan. Gen Sakine didn't shout, he didn't get angry. He listened patiently, lowered his head in apparent shame, and apologized. He poured Akio a small bottle of a popular Japanese health tonic drink as a gesture of peace, a sign of respect to calm his guest's nerves. But inside that liquid, Gen had dissolved a massive, concentrated dose of strychnine-based veterinary nitrate compound. It was a lethal chemical that he used to innocently euthanize large, aggressive guard dogs. It had no smell. It had no distinct taste when mixed into the herbal tonic. Akio drank the liquid. Within less than 3 minutes, his central nervous system began to violently misfire, to put it lightly. His muscles seized, his jaw locked. He collapsed onto the traditional tatami mats of the kennel office, unable to scream, his lungs paralyzing as Gen stood over him, silently watching his watch. Once the twitching stopped, Gen didn't hesitate. He called Hideko Kazama into the room. They summoned one of their junior kennel employees, a man named Yamazaki, whom they had systematically broken down through months of psychological abuse. Gen pointed a loaded hunting rifle at Yamazaki, right at his chest, actually, and gave him a choice. Help us make this investor transparent, or your family disappears next. They wrapped Akio, his body, in heavy plastic kennel tarp and loaded him into the back of a delivery truck. In the dead of night, they drove into the dark mountain passes of Saitama Prefecture, arriving at a remote mountain hut owned by Yamazaki's family. This hut was about to become a factory of non-existence. Gen and Hideko did not bring shovels. They knew that buried bodies decompose, produce gases, and eventually draw the attention of search teams. Instead, applying their brutal familiarity with canine carcass disposal, they led the investor out on a plastic sheet. With absolute chilling detachment, they dismembered the body into tiny microscopic fragments. No blades, no sores here. Literally a blast furnace of sorts. They fed the soft tissue into a portable, high-heat sheet metal incinerator tank they had transported from the kennel, burning it to absolute powder over several hours. The larger bone segments and skull fragments were placed onto stone blocks and smashed repeatedly with heavy iron hammers until they were the size of river pebbles. At dawn, Gen walked down to the edge of a rushing mountain river stream, opened the plastic bags, and threw the ash into the white water. The current caught the remains of Akio, scattering him across the valley floor. His clothes were reduced to ash. His diamond ring was melted down with a blowtorch. His car was driven across prefecture lines and abandoned. Gen turned to the trembling employee and smiled. "Look at that stream," he whispered. "It's completely transparent now. No one could find a man who does not exist." The Invisible Ledger. Once the first transparency was complete, Gen realized his method was flawless. Capital crimes in Japan are incredibly difficult to prosecute without a body, a weapon, or a clear physical locus of death. He had turned murder into a simple corporate restructuring tool. In July of 1993, a rival dog breeder from Saitama Prefecture began publicly speaking out about the pedigree fraud occurring at the Africa Kennel. He was invited to the kennel office to discuss a compromise. Quite a compromise. He drank the elixir. 6 hours later, his bone dust was floating down the same mountain river stream. A few weeks later, an associate of a powerful Yakuza syndicate came to the kennel to collect a massive outstanding gambling debt run up by Gen Sakine. He was a dangerous man, accustomed to using violence to enforce compliance, but he sat in the same chair. He accepted the same polite health drink. His heavy gold chains were melted down to the mountain's hut. His bones were crushed to sand with the same iron hammers. Everyone gets treated the same there. The final victim was an affluent business partner who threatened to go to the Saitama police after discovering that Gen Sakine had been using his personal bank accounts to launder money. He vanished from the face of the earth in late August. 4 human beings, 4 distinct lives with families, careers, histories completely converted into untraceable soot and river water in less than 6 months. Inside the Africa Kennel, life continued as normal. Gen sold champion dogs, groomed animals for national exhibitions, and smiled at families buying household pets. Hideko Kazama sat at her desk, perfectly balancing the financial ledger books, and adjusted the kennel profits to account for the sudden disappearances of their primary debts. They had created a domestic kingdom built entirely on the invisible layer of human ash. Gen's narcissism blossomed into full delusion. He believed he had broken the code of the universe. He would stand in his yard watching his champion hounds run along the fences and boast that he was entirely above the reach of the law. He believed that if you can erase the physical shape of a man, you can erase the moral consequence of his death. He was wrong. Forensic shadows. The Saitama Prefecture police are known for their patience, and by the late 1994, the disappearance of 4 prominent wealthy individuals within the same tight geographic zone had triggered an undercover task force. Detectives began mapping out the final movement of their missing men. They checked phone records, bank statements, and highway toll booth cameras. Every single path converged on one exact coordinate, the gates of the Africa Kennel. But without a body, without a single bloodstain inside the kennel office, which Hideko Kazama had thoroughly scrubbed with professional veterinary bleach, the prosecutors couldn't secure an arrest warrant. The breakthrough came, though, from the broken employee. But you see, that is the loose end. Unable to survive the crushing guilt of what he'd witnessed, and living in constant terror that Gen Takine would eventually feed him the same poisoned elixir, Yamazaki fled Saitama and surrendered to the authorities. He confessed everything. He gave them the coordinates of the remote mountain hut, and in January of 1995, a massive forensic division raided the mountain shack. Gen Takine had been thorough, but nature remembers what human hands tried to erase. Forensic technicians dismantled the brick chimney pipe of the hut. Deep within the porous, soot-covered mortar brick, they discovered microscopic traces of human fat tissue that had survived the heat. They brought in sifting screens and spent weeks washing the gravel of the mountain riverbed downstream. Caught in the deep pockets of the river rocks, they recovered three tiny unburnt fragments of human bicuspid tooth shards. It was enough. It was the physical proof that the missing men had not run away. They had been destroyed. The trial of Gen Takine and Hideko Kazama shook Japan. It pulled back the curtain on a level of calculated, psychopathic depravity that the nation had rarely seen. Both blamed each other for the planning, but the evidence painted a picture of total corporate collaboration. In 2001, the Supreme Court of Japan handed down death sentences to both masters of the Africa Kennel. Gen Takine died on death row in 2017. His mind completely collapsing into senile dementia before the executioner could claim his life. Hideko Kazama remains behind bars on death row to this day. An aging specter of a luxury pet boom turned into an industrial slaughterhouse. The true crime ledger is written, signed, and closed. But as the bodies of those four men vanished into the white water of the mountains, something ancient was being drawn down into the soil. The Inugami. In the oldest spiritual traditions of Japan, specifically within the isolated mountain communities of Shikoku and western Honshu, there is a practice of forbidden sorcery that standard religion refuses to record. It is the invocation of a yokai born entirely from human avarice, intentional torment, and animal blood. The entity is called the Inugame, the dog spirit, the hound deity. But you must understand, an Inugame is not a ghost that naturally wanders the woods. No, it is a manufactured weapon, a curse called into existence by a human master to secure absolute wealth and ruin their competitors. Sound familiar? The old sorcery texts detail the creation rituals with a level of stomach-churning precision that echoes the work done inside that Saitama mountain hut. A sorcerer consumed by a desire to destroy their rivals or build an open-up financial empire, would select a common hound from their property. They would bury the living dog in the dirt up to its neck, packing the soil tight so that the animal could not move a single muscle of its body. Gosh, terrifying. Only the dog's head would remain exposed, sticking out of the raw earth under the burning sun. The sorcerer would then place a bowl of water or fresh meat just inches away from the animal's muzzle, close enough for the dog to smell the moisture, close enough for its tongue to graze the edge of the bowl, but entirely impossible to reach. The hound would be left there for days, starving, thirsting, dehydrating. What a terrible way to go. As the days passed, the dog's mind would completely fracture. Its love and loyalty for its human master would curdle into a hyper-concentrated, white-hot knot of pure rage, desperation, and agonizing longing. Just as the exact microsecond when the animal was about to draw its final breath, when its fury reached its absolute peak. The sorcerer would step forward with a traditional Japanese sword. With one swift stroke, they would sever the dog's head from its neck. As the head flew from the body, driven by its final desperate instinct to reach the food it had starved for, the spirit would detach from the blood-soaked flesh. The sorcerer would catch the severed head, trap it within an earthenware jar, and bury it deep beneath a busy public crossroad where hundreds of feet would walk over it every day. Through this act of complete betrayal, the spirit was bound forever to the family line. It became an invisible, transparent servant, a tool that went out into the dark spaces of the village, unseen, untouchable, executing the absolute worst desires of the family who made it. the internal turn of the curse. The families who held these spirits were known in the folklore as Unagami Mochi, the dog spirit holders. For a generation, an Unagami Mochi household would experience miraculous, unexplained prosperity. Their businesses would flourish, their rivals would suddenly sicken and die of mysterious wasting diseases, their wealth would multiply like dust. But the old stories carry a terrifying, unyielding warning for anyone who tries to build an empire on animal torment. The Inugami does not love its creator. It remembers the shovel. It remembers the burning sun. It remembers the cold bite of the blade that severed its neck. It obeys only out of the mechanical constraints of the sorcery. And if the master's willpower slips, even fractionally, if the arrogance makes them weak, or if their greed becomes so bloated that they forget the nature of the beast they're holding, the Inugami turns. The curse turns completely inward. The invisible hound looks back at the household that created it, and it begins to consume them from the inside out. The family members of the Inugami Mochi, their whole line, would experience sudden catastrophic madness. They would lose the ability to speak human language. They would crawl on their hands and knees through their houses, barking like rabid dogs, foaming at the mouth, and violently biting their own limbs until they bleed to death in their beds. The weapon they engineered to make their enemies transparent becomes the very monster that systematically tears their own sanity apart. Now, look back at Genshin Sakine, Hideko Kazama, and the concrete footprint of the Africa Kennel in Saitama Prefecture. Genshin Sakine spent his entire adult life surrounded by dogs. He claimed to love them, but he viewed them through the lens of pure commodification. He bred them, exploited them, manipulated their pedigree lines for financial scams, and used veterinary poisons meant for their mercy to execute human beings for cash. He built a modern commercial cage of absolute suffering and fear, turning his household into an altar of greed. He believed his absolute mastery of dog breeding gave him the right to decide who deserved to exist. He believed his incinerator could make his malice permanently transparent. But the ancient logic of the land suggests that Genshin Sakine was never the master of that kennel. He was just another blind sorcerer with soil around his neck, completely unaware that the teeth were already reaching for his throat. What lingers in the forests? Today, the ground where Africa Kennel once operated in Saitama Prefecture has been completely wiped clean. Modern buildings stand over the soil, families walk their pets past streets that once housed the cages of Genshin Sakine's empire. The legal records are safely stored away in Tokyo archives, studied by behavioral analysts as a textbook study in collaborative psychopathy. But if you venture away from the urban centers, if you dive deep into the mountain passes, driving where the isolated wooden disposal hut once stood beside the stream, the local residents will tell you that the story didn't end with the death row conviction. No, they talk about the mountain riverbed, specifically during the late winter months when the river fog rolls heavy through the cedar trees. Local delivery drivers and long-haul truckers who use those mountain roads at 2 in the morning have reportedly and highly consistently noted the phenomenon over the last 30 years. They describe passing certain stretches on the road near the riverbed and feeling a sudden severe drop in vehicle cabin temperature, a cold that cuts through the heater. Then comes the sound, not the wind, a sound like heavy iron chains scratching and rattling aggressively across the stones of the riverbank. And underneath that clatter, a low, deep, guttural growl that vibrates through the metal chassis of a truck before it is even registered by human ears. One local resident, writing in the regional Saitama Cultural Forum, described stopping his vehicle because his headlights caught an anomaly near the tree line. He says that he saw a shape, indistinct, completely transparent, like a rippling wave of heat in the white fog, moving with incredible speed on all fours through the brush. He said the air smelt faintly of old wood smoke and burned bone. He wrote, "I didn't see eyes, I didn't see a face, but I felt an impression of pure, concentrated hunger staring back at me from the dark, a malice that was waiting for something to stop moving. Gen Sakine thought he had mastered the art of making human lives transparent. He believed that by reducing Akio Kawamura and his other victims to dust, he had wiped the ledger clean. But you cannot lie to the soil. You cannot burn away the energy of the unspeakable act. The invisible hound he built through his greed didn't dissolve in that mountain river. No, it simply grew. And it is still haunting those roads, transparent, insatiable, waiting for the master lion to come home. The oldest folklore scrolls tell us that the only way to escape an Onagami and its curse is to completely strip yourself of the wealth it brought you. Confess the cruelty that created it and walk away in absolute poverty. You must face the non-existence of your own creations. But men like Gen Sakine never look away from their profit margins. They believe their empires can outrun their shadows. The four men who vanished into the Africa Canal in 1993 were real human beings. They had names, faces, loves, and futures that were converted into microscopic soot caught in a chimney brick because one man decided his greed outweighed their right to breathe. But that horror has no closure in it. The death sentences brought justice to the cause, but they left the landscape altered. If you are driving through the mountain passes of Saitama Prefecture at night, and the fog rolls in thick across your windshield, keep your eyes locked on the road ahead. Don't lower your windows for a breath of fresh air, and if you hear the sound of iron chains scratching against the gravel near the water, or a low growl that vibrates in the back of your teeth, step on the accelerator and don't look back. Because some phantoms are completely transparent, and they have been haunting and hunting in those trees for a very long time. Stay safe, and good night. Before I step away from the studio microphone tonight, I need to take a moment for the incredible people who make Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales possible. Every single hour of translation work, every police archive dug out of old Japanese newspapers, and every mythological connection made at 2 o'clock in the morning, it all exists solely because of you. So let me start with my thank yous. At the absolute summit of this mountain, my Ode Night D Titan, Matto freaking Saar, you legend. Matto, episodes like this one are immensely challenging to construct, as you can imagine. When you are balancing a true crime case as graphic and depraved as the Saitama Canal murders with a folklore concept as heavy as the Onagami, you can't rush the pacing. You have to ensure both threads carry the weight they deserve without drifting into cheap sensationalism. The fact that you support this independent project at the highest tier is something I think about deeply every single week.
You are a massive part
of why this show tries as hard as it does. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Matto. Here is your deep dive question, though, for this week's episode, and I want everyone in the community to sit with it. Gen Sakine believed that by destroying the physical body entirely, he was erasing the moral consequence of his crime, making it transparent. Do you think modern societies do something similar when we choose to isolate or pave over the physical places where horrific historical events occurred? Is geographical erasure a form of societal transparency? Let me know your thoughts, mate, in the Patreon comments below. I'll read every single one, and I'm looking forward to your response as well, Matto. Thank you so much, mate. Have a great week ahead, and stay brilliant as always. And now onto my white tea warlords, the inner circle standing guard with me in the dark, episode after episode. Lizosaurus Rex, bringing an unmatched energy and unyielding dedication to this storytelling community. Thank you so much, my gym-lifting friend. Have a brilliant week ahead and stay safe, legend. Thanks for the support. Maya, the queen of cats, watching the shifting shadows of these dark cases with absolute quiet focus. Thank you so much, Maya, and have yourself a brilliant week ahead and stay awesome as always. Thanks again. And my final white tea warlord, Sangeetha the seer, who likely anticipated the dark trajectory of this kennel case before the ink was even drying. Thank you so much, Sangeetha. Have a brilliant week ahead, and thank you for your support. Warlords, a quick question for you three. If you were walking those Saitama mountain paths at dusk and heard that low, guttural growl vibrating in your jaw before your ears registered it, would you stay to document the phenomenon? Or would you turn around instantly? Tell me in the comments. And of course, my Ograin forces and all tiers thereafter, the incredible backbone of this entire operation, I am lucky to have Chad Warren, Peter Raffaelli, Just Heather, Juicebox Andy, Divided by Zero, Paige Kramer, Jane Gumnick, Michael Krupp, and Steve the Creeper. Thank you so much for your support, legends. Every single download, every review, and every single month you show up to sit with me in these dark corners of global history, it means more to me than I know how to express. Thank you for keeping the lights on in the studio, and I appreciate you. That is everything from me tonight. If this journey into the dark heart of Saitama Mountain stayed with you, please share the show with someone who appreciates the shadows. Leave a rating or a short review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you have a spare moment. It helps independent shows like me immensely. This has been Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales. Stay curious, stay a little scared, just a little bit. And whatever you do, if you see a ripple of heat moving through a freezing fog, don't assume you're walking alone. Good night.